Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for FriendsOfFantasyBenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, man. A lot of stuff coming out in Prospects Live in the next few days. The top 100 list is done. No idea how many hours that took to make with everybody involved. Justin got a little sneak peek of the list. It looks outstanding. I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool looking list. Smata does a good job. Smata.
Always.
I like how I said when we were talking, like I can never remember how to pronounce his name, and he didn't actually tell me.
It's a made up name though.
Yeah.
So you can pronounce it however you want.
So
I actually figured out the meaning of it the other day. Just like a random epiphany. It was weird.
Oh really? You didn't know?
Not gonna divulge it, but yeah. I didn't know, but I figured it out and I was like, oh fuck, okay.
I'm pretty sure I divulged it on the air once.
You may have, but yeah, I don't recall.
Pretty sure I did on TGFBI when he was on with me there. But we're talking about the Atlanta Braves prospects today. A pretty good system that is flush with pitching. A ton of pitching. They have so much pitching. But you can never have too much pitching, right?
No, you can't. As you know, if you have five, you probably need eight or nine starters, to be honest.
So, and they definitely have that. So, can you go ahead and jump in and talk about who you got at the top of the system?
Well, I actually don't have a pitcher in the number one spot.
What?
Yeah, it's weird. I'm in the minority here. But I have Christian Pache, number one. And my reasoning for that is he's got an emerging power skill set. He's got the speed already, and he's a dynamic defensive center fielder. Not typical for a guy like this to be at the top because the offense is mostly projection. I mean, 279 hitter last year with 9 homers and 7 stolen bases, but there's signs that more are coming. Doesn't strike out. He's an aggressive guy, won't walk too much, but I believe he's a potential 15-30 guy with really good defense in center field.
Wow.
So I have a number one. Like, the defense, no joke, is like 70, 80 grade defense. It's fantastic. My number two guy is also probably not the pitcher you might. It is a pitcher, but it's probably not the pitcher you think it is. I have Touki Toussaint, number two. Hmm. The reason why I say that is because he's either going to be a starter or a dominant reliever, and that has value either way. I don't see a scenario where Touki Toussaint is a back-end starter. You know, he's either going to be a one or two or fantasy number three guy, or he's going to be a dominant late inning guy. He needs to tighten up the command, but you're going to see him a lot on like the pitchers list and stuff, the gifts and stuff that he throws, the pitching ninja. Sorry, mm-hmm. Not pitchers. Pitching ninja with all the gifts and stuff because of how nasty it is. That curveball is sick. It's legit 12-6. He's got a split change, which is fantastic pitch. He uses it against lefties. Fastball runs, has a lot of life, explodes on hitters. And the caveat here I want to make is if you're in like a 10-team league, he's the number one guy in the system because you can replace him, right? Because mm-hmm. there's still question marks about whether or not he pans out. But he's got legitimate number one, number two starter upside. And there's like 5 or 6 pitchers in the minor leagues that have that right now. And he's one of them. It's kind of a disadvantage in his part too. But his stuff is actually the kind of stuff that will play up in a bullpen, which might hurt him a little bit because you look at the number three guy, which I have Mike Soroka. His stuff's good. It is what it is. He's not really going to play up in the bullpen. Low to mid-90s. Had a shoulder injury to end the season last year. Would have came back, but the Braves kind of took it easy with him. It was more of a precaution than the injury and stuff in September. He did throw an instructs in September. He was a full participant as much as he, you know, with the innings limit. He wasn't going to throw a ton, but I like Soroka. I think he's like a number three ceiling though, but I also think like a realistic floor is definitely a starter at the big league level. I have Austin Riley at four, power hitting third baseman. Originally, I anticipated he would have some fantasy impact in 2019. I'm not so sure with the acquisition of Donaldson, and then they have Johan Camargo, who will probably get a shot before Riley. Ultimately, I think Austin Riley gets traded, to be honest with you, but
I think there's a really good chance that he does.
Yeah, the hit tool isn't as polished as the numbers indicate. 28% K rate in AAA. Obviously, that's a red flag. 8% walk rate will play. 60 grade raw power. Did a lot of work to get the body into better shape. Lost some weight. But it's power and arm strength are the two skills there. Ian Anderson is the number five prospect. He's a third overall pick in 2016 out of upstate New York. Not a baseball powerhouse in upstate New York, but when you take guys like this, you kind of hope they develop into Anderson and finally getting to play baseball full time. And, you know, he struck out over 10.5 per nine. Walks are a little bit below four, but that pick seems to be worth it and then some. Three above average pitches with the fastball and curveball get plus grades. Command is a little bit below average. Needs to tighten it up, but I mean, he's got a significant upside. Can be number two starter. Drew Waters at number six. I don't know why the Braves still have him in the organization. He was part of that John Coppola transgressions, I guess. Waters was the second round pick, so the Braves didn't want to go over their bonus pool, so they offered him slot for a second rounder, and they also, in addition to that, promised to buy him a car. They never did, so he didn't get the car. But that should be illegal, in my opinion. You shouldn't have Waters anymore, but they do. Five-tool center fielder, speed and acumen to steal 25 bags. Speed and acumen hit to steal 25 bags while also hitting 20-plus homers and utilizing the gaps if everything breaks right. He's an aggressive guy, though. Again, 5.8% walk rate, so a little bit to be concerned there, but he puts the bat on the ball. Kyle Wright was their number one pick last year out of Vanderbilt. Made it to the major leagues this year through six innings, mostly mop-up stuff. It's nasty that he's a seventh-ranked guy because he's still easily a top 100 prospect, top 75 probably. Four-pitch mix, all above average. Curveball is the best pitch, of the best off-speed pitch. Oh, slider, fastball slider are the best off-speed pitch. Curveball and changeup are coming around. The curveball projects to be on the same level. The changeup probably won't be as good because it's still playable. He's got mid-rotation floor probably. Bryce Wilson I have at number nine. We'll get to Contreras in a minute. Wilson was up in the bullpen last year too, and he seems like he's made for that kind of role. Two-plane slider, average changeup, gets up to 95 mile an hour in short stint, touches 97, sits 95. Innings eater, bulldog guy, the guy that yells at hitters and yells into his glove on the mound. William Contreras is my ninth-ranked guy here. Obviously, he's Wilson's brother. We pulled up with Miner's Graphs, a list of the top 25 guys on average fly ball distances. And Contreras has played in single A and short season A ball and high A ball last year. So those are both pitcher's parks for the Braves. And if you extrapolate those out, he was still in the top, I want to say he was in the top 15 in average fly ball distance. So obviously there's more power coming. He hit 11 home runs, very good plate skills, above average walk rate, above average contact rate. Only hit 11 home runs, so he's got to work on more of elevating more consistently, because when he does it, it carries. And he's got the arm and the defensive chops to stick. So Contreras, I normally don't advocate investing in catchers in fantasy, but Contreras is an exception. Luis Gohara, still a prospect despite a very rough 2018. And to be honest with you, if 2018 would have went how it was supposed to be, he wouldn't be a prospect anymore. Hardest throwing left-handed prospect in the game, that pitched last year anyways. Got some concerns about the body. Supposedly he's in better shape this year, but we've read that a million times about a million different players. Made a four-level climb up to the majors in 2017, plus slider. Slider combination. Rest of the game needs work. I'm throwing out 2018, though. He had some minor injury concerns. He also lost his father and his mother got sick. So a lot of off-the-field stuff dragging down the numbers as well. So got to remember this kid's only 23. I'm giving him a pass. I still think he's going to play a big role for the Braves this year, whether it's in the bullpen. Colby LR, Joey Wentz, Kyle Mueller, all left-handed pitchers. LR's pitching the majors this year. He's probably a four or five starter. Curveball flashes plus, but the fastball is not great, so you can kind of, you know, spit on it. Joey Wentz and Kyle Mueller are both should spend some time in AA and AAA this year. both project as mid-rotation arms. I like Wentz a little bit better, more athletic than Mueller. They're both good. Grayson Janista and Tristan Beck were draft picks here in the 2018 draft. Janista is kind of an outfield first base corner outfield guy at his peak. 20 home run power, but a good hit tool. And Tristan Beck is a kid out of Stanford. His freshman year put up some of the best numbers in the nation. Then he had a back injury. Missed all of his sophomore year. Came back this year through. And supposedly looked really, really good at instructs as well. Stuff ticked up. So he's a guy that's going to shoot up this list next year. But the Braves have such an embarrassment of riches in the system, man. It's a fun one. A lot of arms, but you also get some dynamic two-way players in Waters and Pache, and even Contreras to an extent for a catcher. Austin Riley, I think a lot of people are more up on him than I am, but he's still a dude. It's a really fun system here in Atlanta, and obviously the Major League team has a lot of young talent on it as well. So.
Yeah, it's a fun one for fantasy. It's a little frustrating, though, for fantasy as well, because which arms are going to be in the rotation and which ones aren't.
Right. I'll give you my best guess. I thought I went through it enough. The one guy I want more clarity on is Tukey, just because I think whatever his – but I also think whatever his role in, he's going to be great, so – I know, you know, a guy with a murky rotation future being number two kind of sounds weird, but in fantasy,
he's so electric, closers are valuable.
So closers are, there's nothing wrong with being a closer, and not, especially nowadays. There really isn't. They still pay too. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's going to wrap us up. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. Me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. What you working on, Matt?
Top 100 season, baby, over at Prospects Live. Team previews are done and finished. Those were a fun thing to do this year while also doing the previews for FWFB. So all the write-ups for that. So that was a lot of work. I've been really busy. I can kind of jump into the more of the redraft stuff this year, which we love over here. So look for those kind of podcasts after the FWFB team previews are done. We're going to go through positions, and then we'll get back on a regular rotation.
Yeah, we will. Coming up soon. So I'm just actually sure. I'm kind of – assembling the podcast teams for 2019.
Ooh,
so.
Ooh, I think am I still with you and Mike? I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm going to make sure.
Yeah, I think you and I are still going strong, buddy. So
that's good. Not sick of me yet?
No. I can handle you for at least one more season.
There we go.
You can reach. Oh, I already said where you can reach me. You can read all my stuff over at Fangraphs, Fantasy Alarm. And, of course, Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Hear me on the Sleeper in the Bus podcast and the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational podcast, which is starting to pick up steam. Going to talk to Joe Pizzapia tomorrow on that.
Ooh, that's a good
one. Yeah, I talked to you last week, and I got a episode coming up hopefully soon with Ian Kahn, who just joined RotoWire. So definitely,
good for them, too.
Yeah, definitely check all of those out. And Draft Guide. Get the Draft Guide. Draft Guide is
draft
live.
Draft Guide.
You can get
it's fantastic.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. It's really good.
Yeah, like I'll be honest. Like we got nominated for best podcast of the year by the Fantasy Sports Writers Association. I was a little bummed that our draft guide last year didn't get nominated, but I think for sure this draft guide is getting nominated.
It has to.
I think
it really does.
Yeah,
it's. I know it's. Oh, it's just. You know, advertising because it's on your site. If I'm telling you right now, if I wasn't, you know, invested in this, I would own it for sure because it's really, really great. And you're not going to get updated. You're going to get these lists I wrote for each organization. You're not going to find them anywhere else. I didn't even write fantasy related blurbs on Prospect Live. So these are exclusive to FWFB. So if you want the prospect stuff, definitely need to get the guide.
Yeah. It's, I've been getting a lot of great feedback too. And, well, we're like 3 days in on selling it, and we are just about to pass what we sold last year in terms of overall amount of guides. So it's been a very nice very nice kind of warm welcome and a lot of great feedback. So definitely check that out. You can get it at Amazon in paperback or ebook. Or you can email me, justinmasonfantasy@gmail.com, I'll tell you where you can send the money, and then I'll send you a PDF. And we, like Matt said, we update these all draft season. So if you get the PDF, we'll be sending you, you know, PDFs every time, a new PDF every time we update it. If you get the paperback and you want a PDF, because obviously we can't update the paperback as we go, right. Though, like if you wait until later in draft season, it'll be a different version if you to buy it than if you bought it when it first came out, because we are actually updating it. Which you just obviously can't update it on our already purchased one. But if you email me, I'll put you on the list for the PDF updates. Just show me a receipt, and I'll get you on that. I've had a couple people already do that, and then the ebook automatically updates, so you don't need to worry about the PDF. So. That'll do it for us. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.